All right, Revelation chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. You know, just not long ago, I had a person to tell me that, well, I don't believe heaven and earth is going to pass away. I said, well, have you ever read Peter? He tells you it's going to pass away. Have you ever read the Revelation? He says it's going to pass away. Yeah, but I don't believe it's going to pass away. I'm simple-minded. I believe it's going to pass away because the Bible says it's going to pass away. Okay? No more sea. Can you imagine that? Two-thirds of the earth sea, right? If history's right, who knows? Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Now note this. Coming down out of heaven from God. How many people want to live in heaven forever? I want to live with God forever. And God's going to be in New Jerusalem. Jesus is going to be in New Jerusalem. Okay? Now note this. The city, listen to this, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, or the dwelling of God, is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. Now look at this. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. I heard a preacher back some time ago saying that God said that really meant that He was going to wipe the tears out of his eyes. So I went back and I got my Bible and I got the program and I started looking at that. Michaela, if you would, look at verse 3, or 4, I'm sorry, in the interlinear. And now, click on the 99:99 and then one time, or go down to the Textus right there. Let's use the Textus Receptus. Now look at 23:16. Theos, okay, or Theos, which is God. Now the Nestle's Island drops God out of it, and they do a lot of things that God. Now look at 18:13. Will smear out or obliterate, erase tears, so wipe away. I'm all right with that, okay. How many of them? All, which means all. And then tears, it's actually tear, from, out of, or from, the eyes. Right? And then 8:46. The reflexive pronoun. You know what reflexive pronoun means? It refers back to the person. So, is God crying? No. We're the ones that shed the tears. So the tears are going to be wiped from our eyes. Is God in pain? No. So the pain is removed for us. Death's removed from us. All these things are dealing with us. And you just got to, you know, people say, well, you know, I had a vision of heaven and I saw this and I saw the. Always see if it lines with the Word of God. I could have had too much pizza. All right, let's go back to the text. I can tell you right now that God's not going to show you something that doesn't agree with His Word. All right? So, He says, there will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It's finished. One aspect was finished at the cross. Now, this is the finality. It's finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Notice to him who thirsts. You know everybody's not thirsty. So, if they're not thirsty, they're not wanting to drink water. You know, it's interesting to me because a lot of times people will ask me, do you want some water? I say, no. You sure? Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not thirsty. Why don't I want water? Because you're thirsty doesn't mean I want to drink. That's like mama telling the child, you know, put your coat on, mama's cold. And a lot of times we're thinking like that. We think because we have accepted something, because we have a desire for something, that everybody else should have a desire. Because God has spoken to our hearts, we think that when we share that other people want to drink what we drink. No, to him who's thirsty. To him who's thirsty. Okay? He said, I'll give the water of life. Where am I? From the fountain of life? Fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. All right, now, he who overcomes. How do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. In other words, you believe in what Jesus has done for you, and you acknowledge that belief. You don't let go of it. You don't let go of it. You understand? We overcome by what we believe and what we say about what we believe. That's how we overcome. Okay? He said, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Now, that's an interesting way to say that. I will be his God. Not I'll be his father. You know, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, what God was saying was even to Abraham. But here was the thing he's conveying. I will be God to them. As the one who looks after their welfare. I'll protect them. I'll do whatever. I will be their God. I'll be the one they worship. There's a difference, okay? So here's what he's saying. I will be his God. I will be the one he worships. All right? And he will be my son. Because he worships me, I will provide for him and take care of him. If we worship God, God takes care of us. You see that? All right, he goes on to say, But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers. I want you to note these are nouns, not verbs. Okay? Sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's not a person that has doubted before, and not a person that's done something disgusting before, not a person that's killed before, not a person that's been sexually immoral before. It is a person who continues that. Thank God we've been forgiven of things we've done in the past. All liars. Well, probably most people on earth told a lie. Right? But it's using this as a noun. They're habitual liars. You see them every time they're running for office. Right? People are habitual liars. They don't tell you the truth. They don't shoot straight with you. That's talking about the person, not just somebody that does an act. Acts can be forgiven. This is nature. This is not born again. You see the difference? Because a lot of people get hung up on this, well, I've done this. Well, if you ask God to forgive you, then God's forgiven you. I don't know if I told you guys, but I've told somebody. But I think it was Friday morning. I was praying and just sort of, sometimes I get overwhelmed with the fact that God loves me and that He's selected me to represent Him. And I know who I am. You understand? And I'm saying, you know, Lord, you never cease to amaze me. And I said, I know my sins. And just like that, I heard, I don't. And it stopped me in my tracks. It really, that was a very unexpected thing. And then if that don't overwhelm you, I don't know what will. To think that someone can not only forgive you, but forget it, to where there's no record of any wrong. What did Paul say? I wrong no man. Now, how could he say that? I mean, he was a rascal, you know? And he's saying, I haven't wronged anybody, because he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Jesus has taken care of every sin, so there is no sin against us. So you can pull out the record book and he can't find anything. Pete's slate is clean. If that won't overwhelm you, I don't know what will. But that's exactly what he was saying. So it's not that if you've ever done anything wrong, but if you practice sin, there's a nature problem. You're going to have to deal with some things. Okay? The nature of God in you does not want to sin. Does it? But if you don't renew your mind with the Word of God, you'll draw off of old nature programming. And that's how people get in trouble. That's how people sin. They draw off of old nature programming. They haven't renewed their mind to agree with their new nature. When you get your thinking agreeing with your new nature, you follow the new nature. As you think, you are. As you think, you do. So we get to get our minds in agreement with the Word of God, don't we? Note how he starts that off with cowardly. You afraid to stand up for Jesus? You afraid of what people will say? You afraid you won't be accepted? I never wanted to be called a coward. You understand? I mean, that right there makes you draw the line when people say, if somebody calls you a coward. No. Yeah, you're not going to call me a coward. There's no glory in being a coward. You understand? And God's not looking for cowards. In case you haven't noticed, God's looking for people that will stand up and represent Him. He said, then one of the seven angels, and this is what I really want to draw your attention on, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now I want you to look at this. This tells you in plain writing who the bride is. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So who's the bride? New Jerusalem. Jesus is marrying the city. Now think about this. When Jesus came to Jerusalem the first time, he wept over it. He wept over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I wanted to just take you like a chicken would gather bitties or chicks under the wings, and you wouldn't let me. So, what he showed John was the Lamb's wife. The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and the 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the 12 tribes of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, I've often wondered about this. Obviously, Judas's name's not on there. Right? The 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, I'm thinking the 12 apostles Jesus selected. Now, I know Matthias, Peter and them voted. They gave God two choices. That's all God had was two choices. And Matthias was a winner. Is his name the one that's going to be there? Or could it possibly be one that God selected on the road to Damascus with a great light? Interesting, isn't it? Apostle Paul, for those that don't read their Bible. God called him, God sent him, right? He said, "He who talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square." Do you guys understand what a square is, right? Okay. "Its length as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs." Note this. Its length, its width, and its height. That's cube. Right? Isn't that a cube? Or all the same? "Then he measured his wall, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel." Now, I put this in your study guide as to what a cubit was, if the scholar, they say this amount, and so I just put that there so you can get perspective, okay? He said the construction of it, "Then he measured wall 144 cubits according to the measure of man," that is, of the angel or the messenger that he had sent. "The construction of its wall was of jasper." Can you imagine that? I mean, that is a jewel, right? A precious stone. You saw how big that was. Now, if you take 144, and you know, we know the cubit today is 18 inches. Actually, from the elbow to the tip of the finger, which is commonly considered 18 inches, okay? So measure that times 144, or multiply that times 144, and if you want feet, divide it by 12, okay? And it'll give you some perspective. "The construction of the wall of this was jasper. The city was pure gold." Now, that's awesome. But, like clear glass. Have you ever seen gold like clear glass? You haven't even seen pure gold, have you? The foundation of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The foundation. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. and the 10th, chrysoprasus, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. Now that's somewhat hard to imagine when we've been told that pearls are made by oysters that have a grain of sand that irritates them, and God must have a different way, or there'd be one more giant oyster, wouldn't it? The one gate, one pearl. Each gate, one is an individual gate, a pearl. The street of the city, not paved with gold, pure gold, like transparent glass. I've never seen gold that I could see through. I mean, this is something. I mean, my imagination won't even let me get an image of this city in my mind. It's so far beyond me as to know what these things are. We've never seen anything. He said, but I saw no temple in it. This is a city, but I don't see a temple. He said, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. You're worshiping a person. You go to a person, not a facility. Okay? People today worship facilities. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. Now, the only thing we can go from here is you think about how Moses, when he got into the presence of God, he came down and his flesh was actually glowing to the point that he put a veil over him when he talked to the people and then removed the veil when he talked to God, okay? Then you see Jesus on Mount Transfiguration and how he's glistening, okay, glowing. Then when you see Paul's encounter with Jesus there on the road to Damascus, it's a bright light, a blinding light. Actually, Paul was blinded 3 days. And then God healed him through Ananias. Okay? And so, when we see him, he is an inapproachable light. That's how brilliant that he is. Okay? So, that's the illumination of the city. If you have that type of brightness in there, then you don't need sun and moon. They're inferior lights, you understand. And that's what he's telling. He said, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. The nations of those who are saved. Let's look at that in verse 24, if you would, Michaela, and interlinear. I think you'll find that an interesting word. Look at nations. Ethnos. We call ethnic groups ethno, races. Races. All right. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to the text. And I would translate it, and the races of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Now, there's so much I don't know about this. But evidently, there's something going on outside the city. Would you agree? If they're bringing into the city, the kings of the earth are bringing their glory into the city, their honor, but there shall by no means enter into the city anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know what all the activity is going to be in the hereafter, but I can pretty much assure you that you're not going to be sitting on a cloud with a fishing pole, as I've heard some people say. Okay? There's some kind of activity going on. Right? But nothing enters that city that can defile. Nothing. and only those who bear the mark of the Lamb. See, the mark of the beast is a counterfeit. It gets you to identify with the devil, Antichrist. God came up with the mark of God. Anything the devil has is not created, it's counterfeited. Do you understand? So go for the mark of God, not the mark of the beast, right? And make certain that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you do that? By simply accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All right? He said, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. All right, now in your study guide, I want you to make a correction there at verse 2. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river. All right, here's the way that this should read. As a matter of fact, Michael, if you would, go to the Holman Christian Translation. I think you get a better rendering here. Get the punctuation out of it, all right? Go back up to verse 1, if you would. Then he showed me the river of living water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the broad street of the city. Okay? I got the words backwards. You see that? I have street and what I have street and river mixed up there, reversed. So forgive me and change it, okay? So down the middle of the broad street, on both sides of the river was the tree of life bearing. Now, I do not agree with this translation, so let's go to the interlinear. This one says 12 kinds, some say 12 varieties, but it's not in the original language that way. It says, in the midst of the street of it, the river on either side, there was a tree of life, which bore, note the word manner of was not in the Greek text. So, which bore fruit. Now, if I understand this correctly, what it's saying is that these trees, there's 12 months, and the trees are producing every month. They're bearing fruit every month. It doesn't say different kinds. It's a tree of life. All right, let's go back to the text, and you can go back to what we're using, New King James. Okay. It says, in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, tree of life, which bore 12 fruit, each yielding its fruit every month. Now, this is interesting. It says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, or the healing of the races. I'd like to tell you I know what that means, but I don't. There's actually things that he hasn't revealed to us. You understand? But you know what I know about this? That there's going to be a need for the nation's healings and the provisions there to keep the nations well. That's all I know about that. Okay? There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Now this is awesome. They shall see His face. Prior to this, no man can see His face. What did Moses say? I want to see your face. He said, you can't see my face and live. Nobody can. They shall see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no night there. No need for a lamp or light of the sun, because the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So I'm going to reign forever and ever. You see that? Who's he talking about? We're kings and priests. Okay? And so evidently, if we're going to reign, there's something to reign over. Right? I'd like to tell you I knew what, but I don't. He didn't tell us that. He just lets us know that we'll reign forever and ever. I know this. The devil won't be ruling over us. Really. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold," this is Jesus talking, "I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Now, I heard a lot of people talk about, and we'll get to it here in maybe in a minute. This is a book. When John wrote this, there was not a Bible. Are you with me? So he did not say, "Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of the Bible." You with me? Don't read into it what's not there. Okay? The book. All right? "Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me," don't do that. See that you do not do that, okay? "They said angel. It can't be an angel, and I'm going to show you why. The context violates their definition. It has to be messenger." Note this. He said, "Don't do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. I am of your brethren, the prophets. I'm not an angel. I'm not God. God sent me here to show you. You worship God, don't you worship me." Okay? Are you with me on that? You see how the definition defines, I mean how the context defines what the definition or what should be used? So he said, "Worship God," and he said to me, "Do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Don't keep this a secret, but you get this message out, okay? "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he who is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me," note this, "to give to everyone according to his work." Okay? To give according to the work. "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Now, note what he's saying. The tree of life is in the New Jerusalem, right? The only ones that can go in the New Jerusalem are those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Now, so do you see what he's saying? Those who have the right to the tree of life are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They may enter into the gates of the city. Now, this is an interesting statement. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and adulterers and whoever loves and practices a lie. Now, I'd like to tell you I knew what that meant, but I don't, other than it's outside. There's no use in bluffing it. If you know, people can do all kinds of things. But he said this is outside of that city. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirst, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book," talking about the Revelation, "if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book," the Revelation, "and if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life from the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. I am coming quickly. He who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. And John says, amen. So be it. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All right, I'm going to see if I can get through this conclusion, okay? Although this book is called the Revelation, many see it as more of a mystery than a revelation. However, when you compare Scripture with Scripture and thoroughly research the symbolism, you will find revelation. Other Scripture will reveal things, okay? This is the only book in the Bible that declares a blessing on those who read, hear, and keep the things written in it. Those who do not read and understand the things written in the book are prime targets for deception, which will lead to disaster. There are many schools of thought concerning the symbolism of this book. Be cautious with opinion. Let other scripture give insight into the revelation and be extremely alert to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit of God. Although many spiritual principles may be gleaned from this book, it's imperative to understand that the events recorded in this book have occurred, are occurring, and will occur in the future. Not only is there a spirit of Antichrist, but there's also an Antichrist system that will seek to destroy anything or anyone who represents Jesus. The Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court of the United States of America are already actively opposing Jesus and his representatives. As paradoxical as it may sound, the religious systems of the world are Antichrist. It was the religious system that orchestrated the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's imperative for every believer to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus himself said that the delusion of the latter days would be so strong that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. All world systems are Antichrist, including education, economics, and religion. So we must be diligent in our study of the Scriptures. We must be alert to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we'll succumb to the pressure of these world systems. Do not become entrapped in religious systems of the world. Come out of them. They will be destroyed. If you stay in it, you'll be destroyed with it. That's really the what I'd call an overview of the Revelation, because there's more I don't know about it than I do. And so we've just shared with you what we do know, what I feel like the Lord has shown us. Okay?